The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Luke. Once while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long, but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching people." And when they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. Please be seated. Well, not all of you were with us last Sunday, but it was an exciting morning, what with our Scout Sunday and scouts all over the parish hall and the church and our youth group up here banging on pots and pans and reminding us to give generously to helping hands, both food and money. And Jesus himself so enraging the people of his hometown that he almost got thrown off a cliff. So it's nice to have a Sunday that's a little more laid back, both for us and for Jesus. And today our reading from Luke is all about fishing. And hardly anything is more laid back than fishing. That is, unless you fish like I do. Because in my case, literally anything can happen. And I do have a fishing story this morning. The truth is that I really only took up fishing because my father-in-law, Sherry's dad, his name is Smitty, loved to hunt and fish. And of course, I didn't want Smitty to think that his daughter had chosen badly. So I always went along for whatever it was whenever I had the opportunity and did the best that I could. And I certainly loved being out in God's creation. I just wasn't particularly competent when it came to catching fish. For instance, one summer when Sherry's parents and her brother Michael were living in Denver, we went and stayed with them for our vacation that year. And after we, you know, had arrived and got unpacked, and I guess we're probably sitting around the dinner table, Smitty started talking about his plans for the next day. We were going to go fishing at Jefferson Lake. Jefferson Lake's a couple hours away, I suppose, but evidently he had heard that there were a lot of big lake trout or something being caught there, and so we needed to go the day before, camp out, be close by, and then we could get up in the morning and beat most of the crowd to the lake. Well, that sounded like a great plan. I like camping out, and so the next day we went off and did just that. And Jefferson Lake is one of these beautiful, picturesque lakes. It's probably at 9,000 or 10,000 feet above sea level, and it's fairly good size for a lake that's that high. No boats, of course, and you fish from the shore, or you waded in a little bit if you had waders. And so after we had slept in our tents, we got up early the next morning, probably as it was still a little bit dark, and drove over to the parking lot that served the lake. And as we're approaching that lot, I could see that it was pretty obvious we were not the only ones with this great idea. There were people everywhere getting coolers and tackle boxes and folding chairs out of their cars, rushing down to the lake to stake out their places. Of course, we did the same, carried our stuff, I guess, about a quarter of a mile or so along the shoreline before we finally found the first unoccupied place that we could claim as our own. Well, as we got our gear out and prepared to fish, I looked down to my right and to my left, and fishermen were standing, I mean, like every 10 feet. And I began to get a little anxious about how little room I had for error. So I decided the best way to avoid throwing my line over some stranger's line and getting him all mad and all that sort of thing was I positioned myself between Michael, my brother-in-law, and Smitty. So that worked fairly well, and I managed to, we were just using a spin cast reel and a lure, and I managed to do fairly well doing an overhand cast instead of my usual sloppy sling sidearm throw that I usually do. And I wasn't catching anything at all, didn't even have a nibble, but that seemed to be the general story. I've learned long ago that fishing tips are just about the same as stock market tips. By the time I hear them, the smart money has come and gone. But I was working my lure, and I was really enjoying the scenery, but then it happened. I guess I let go of the button on my reel a little too soon, and some of the line came down while the tip of my rod was still behind me. So when I whipped the rod around, the lure caught right in my ear. Well, I was brave. I stifled my urge to yell and calmly reached up and tried to see what I could do with the lure, but it didn't come out immediately. Well, I didn't want my father-in-law to know what I'd done. So I quietly tried to get Michael's attention. Michael, Michael. Michael just kept on fishing. Michael, Michael. What? There's a hook in my ear. What? There's a hook in my ear. Well, then he saw it, this lure dangling down from my ear like some oversized cheap earring, and immediately started laughing hysterically, completely blowing my attempt to avoid attention. Finally composed himself, brought his line in, put his pole down, came over and worked it out. I don't think it was any big thing. I remember I got a little ice from the cooler and went back to fishing, albeit with a little less enthusiasm than when I had started. And they still tell that story in Sherry's family all the time. Well, this morning in our gospel reading, we meet some real fishermen on a much bigger lake, but they're also not having much luck. Simon Peter and the others had fished most of the night and virtually have nothing to show for their efforts. So they've come ashore and they're tending their nets and they're grumbling about their bad luck when they look up and they see this large crowd sort of coming down toward the lake. And as the crowd gets closer, Simon can see that they're following that prophet from Nazareth, Jesus, whom he had already heard quite a bit about. Jesus walks down to the edge of the water, and we read that the crowds were pressing in on him to hear the word of God. And so Jesus, having run out of room to walk, asks Simon whether he can use his boat as a platform to go out a little bit and speak to the crowds. And Simon stops what he's doing, and Jesus gets in the boat, and they row out a little bit, and then Jesus sits down, as is the custom for rabbinic teachers, and begins to preach and teach to the crowd. And as usual, they are amazed at his words. After he's finished teaching, Jesus again turns his attention on Simon Peter. And noticing their empty nets over there on the shore, Jesus tells them they need to go back out in their boats, go further, fish deeper, and they'll do fine. Simon immediately argues, "We already tried that. That doesn't work here. What's the point of doing it again? And I'm sure he's also thinking to himself, and what does a carpenter from Nazareth know about fishing? But at any rate, Simon has been impressed with Jesus' teaching, so he gives in. And he and the others gather their nets and they go back out to fish. And lo and behold, in no time at all, their boats are overflowing, almost sinking with all the fish that they catch in their nets. Sometimes life is like that. Persistence is rewarded. Not stubbornness, but persistence. The Apostle Paul often refers to it as endurance, something that he was very good at. Hanging in there for all the right reasons, trying to do again what you believe you are called to do, even if you've tried it before unsuccessfully. Our reluctance to try things is usually because we have a negative expectation of a good result. Simon didn't want to go back out there and fish because he anticipated failure, not success. And as we learn from my fish story, we're not at our best when we get anxious or worried about failing. That's when we mess up and do something really stupid, like hook our own ear. But the fact is that we grow and learn always by our doing and not as much so by the result. We draw closer to God and closer to each other by our striving together to take Christ out into the world. What we see in Jesus' actions this morning is that the main point of the story is not about the fish. After the fishermen return with their awesome catch, Simon Peter falls to his knees in front of Jesus and begs forgiveness for his disbelief. But Jesus says, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." And we read that Simon and James and John left everything. Left everything behind and became followers of Jesus. Left everything of their old life behind and became his disciples. Therefore, it is the testimony of the fishermen, not the size of the catch, that provides our insight this morning. Simon Peter and the others have just witnessed the first of many miraculous Jesus events that they will see but not fully understand, and yet they are willing to leave everything to follow him. They've been caught. They've been caught by their firsthand witness of this miracle of fish, and now they are to be catchers themselves. And what instructions does Jesus give them? Well, first, he says, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Do not fear failure. Do not fear going hungry. Do not fear being without a place to stay. Trust in me, he says to them. Trust in me. Have faith in God's provision for you. Live into your faith, and God will be faithful in return. Do not be afraid, he says to the disciples and to us. Stay the course. Stay the course. Even if you've already tried it before and it didn't work, cast out your nets and fish again. Second thing Jesus says is that you will no longer catch fish, you will catch people. Fishers of people. And how do the disciples do that? Well, they do that by telling their story, by telling the stories of their encounters with the Son of God to others, by being witnesses in the world of what they have seen and heard with their own eyes and ears, by inviting others to join, but by most of all, being willing to die for what they believe. That's what our job boils down to also. We have each been caught ourselves. That's what brings us here together this morning. Some of us have the hook in a little deeper than others maybe, but we're all caught in some way. And Jesus tells us to go out and catch others. And how do we do that? Very similarly, by not being afraid to give our testimony, not being afraid to talk about our faith, not being afraid that we don't know enough about the Bible to even begin a conversation with somebody, not being afraid that we're not eloquent speakers, believing that God can and will use us to catch others, and then stepping out in faith. Basically, like Peter and the disciples, we simply tell our stories, are stories of what God's love means to us, are stories of how our church family has been supportive and caring in our times of need, are stories of how we felt the Holy Spirit touch us, even if we cannot say exactly how it happened or how we know for sure. And stories of how our faith in God is simply what keeps us going and gives us hope in this ever-darkening world. And just as the faith of the disciples convinces us of their encounter with the living God, our faith makes others want to know more. It isn't the details of our story that's important, it's our faithful response to God. It's our faithful response to God and our love of each other that others see and respond to. Jesus said, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." Let us pray. Most gracious Lord Christ, we give you thanks this morning for your holy word that catches us, that fills us with hope and renews our faith. Calm our fears and fill our hearts and minds with an abiding sense of your presence, that we can be shining examples of your love to the world. Help us see opportunity where others see lost causes, and use us to catch those who are lost and don't know about your love for them. In your holy name and with the Father and the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.